This country, you gotta make the money first. Then when you get the money, you get the power. Then when you get the power, then you get the woman.
This is Money Talks.
All right, this is Money Talks. We're back.
Yeah, that's,
I don't know if that was that might have been Patrick's. Was that Patrick's playbook?
I don't know.
That we were coming in on, get the money, then you get the woman.
All right. Patrick in Holly Springs. Teddy, you and I would know nothing about this.
Uh-oh.
This is my second marriage. Charlie?
Oh, no.
You know, we have a divorce expert or whatever he wants to call himself over here. What's your title?
Certified divorce financial analyst.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. It's a mouthful.
He says it's my second marriage. We had no prenup but kept separate finances and investments. I'm now retired, and I'm pretty sure we're headed for divorce.
The statistics do get worse with every marriage. It's interesting that way. With every remarriage.
Don't tell every remarriage. But his has lasted a while, so has mine. How could I protect my 401k? I was planning to roll it over into an IRA. My current 401k lists my two sons from my first marriage as the beneficiaries.
Okay. Well, first off, the beneficiary designations that he stated in this question really has nothing to do with protecting it, you know, the way I think he's coming, the angle he's coming from. It's still going to be, you know, an asset subject to division to some degree. Now, we don't know how long he had this 401k before the marriage, but he's a resident of Georgia. This is a common law state. It's not a community property state, so there's two different sets of asset division laws to abide by. So here in Georgia, you're typically going to look at this and say, you know, anything you had before the marriage
is yours,
even though you didn't have a prenup, you know, that can stay outside. But as you were earning in the marriage and it was going in this 401k, that's going to be includable for an asset division. So that could be not necessarily complicated. You're just going to look back at when you started the 401k, and you're going to have to track the cash flows.
Regardless of whether you have beneficiaries as your kids.
Right. So now let's look at a few different options. So option number one would be, you know, you could keep all of your 401k, and your spouse could take some of the other marital assets and split it up that way. You want to focus on some of the embedded taxes
in.
Right.
Give her the house and...
Right. I mean, she may have that. There could be some other actual, you know, non-real estate assets. But you really want to focus on the embedded taxes in these different assets. The attorneys typically are not going to advise you on that. That's why you want to call us.
So if you're thinking about a divorce, and there's lots of you out there, give Charlie a call.
A $400,000 brokerage account is not worth the same as a $400,000 IRA. They have different tax treatment. They have different present values net of taxes. So that's a big piece. You know, you also can split up the 401k via what's called a quadro. It's a qualified domestic relations order that you would need the attorney to help you draft. It's just a form that informs the administrator of the 401k that they're allowed to split these assets. And you can move it over into your spouse's name, and she can keep it in an IRA, or she can take it out of the IRA without paying any penalty.
She doesn't pay any penalty at
there'd
all.
There'd be some taxes, but no penalty.
No penalty.
It's
okay,
sort of
the 10%.
A window there
where
she could have access to the funds and do what she wants with
it.
Well, I think we pretty much resolved Patrick's issue. And sorry, but it's probably Patrick probably just cheaper to keep her. Or him.
That's
or him nowadays.
That was planning advice I never found in any of the textbooks. But no, Patrick, in summary, you know, there are a number of options. Just in asset settlements in divorce, you make sure you're looking at different assets different ways. That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah, get some help because not bragging about Charlie, but the bottom line is lawyers think legally. They don't think financially.
They don't think long term.
Right. And so although there's no winner in a divorce, you can at least come out with each of you getting the most after-tax money out of the divorce as possible.
Right.
That's
exactly
what I would say. Okay.
Okay.
Doris speaks from Austell, Teddy. I own both Ace Limited and Allied World Assurance Company. I want to cut one loose. Which, in your opinion, has the most potential?
Okay, both are considered specialty insurers. ACE is run by Evan Greenberg. That's Hank Greenberg's son.
Right.
It's more of an established, higher quality.
Who's suing the federal government in court today.
And probably will win.
And probably will win.
Yes. And they it's the higher quality of the two. It's growing about the same. I say it's the safer bet.
Now, ACE is based in one of the
it
islands.
It was based in Caymans. They moved to Switzerland. I couldn't figure out why. And also, there's a Allied World moved from Bermuda to Switzerland. So something's going on there. Mm-hmm. I would say Allied is probably a good speculative takeover target because all of these companies are trying to do inceptions. You know, these tax, where they switch their domicile to get away from taxes. But Allied's a little more risky. I would stick with ACE.
Okay. Now, it's been around a long time
and
profitable. And Hank Greenberg, which is ACE, by the way, is his nickname.
Yeah, Hank.
Yeah.
And then there's ACE Greenberg that ran Bear Stearns, too.
That's right.
Yeah.
A lot of aces around.
Uh-huh.
You don't have a lot of kings or queens, but you got aces. You know, it'd be Queen Goldberg. You
got a lot of jacks.
What did I say?
That's you got a lot of jacks.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There was one other that I thought was a good one to touch on. This is for Johnny Lancaster. That's a heck of a name, isn't it? Johnny Lancaster. Mm-hmm. My employer is changing 401k providers. We get one choice, a target date fund. I'm losing my diversification. He's worried about, do I go with the target date fund or do I have other options? It's an interesting trend that we've seen. Right. Some companies move, and this was typically you'd see more in a smaller company. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to see this with, you know,
a large
Coca-Cola's 401k, for instance. But there's a couple reasons. You know, historically, you know, looking back, the problem with 401ks were, A, well, you still have to do this. Now you got to educate your employee base on what it is, what the benefits are, what the investments are. But they have to eventually make a decision on what to invest in. Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of employees just don't ever make that decision. So what ends up happening is the money sits in a money market fund, and because there's a fiduciary liability, there's been some issues there. People look up 10 years down the road and say, my gosh, I've been in cash for 10 years. What happened?
Well, one of the things that we do
is
we consult to companies on their 401ks in terms of what they should offer, because they're supposed to offer effective diversification, and then we offer education to the employees that helps relieve some of the
fiduciary
responsibilities of the companies. But usually they're bigger companies. It's now you don't get a little some with 20 employees type kind of thing. We're dealing with bigger companies.
So, you know, and you can have a 401k set up with a default investment option in there where all new contributions automatically go to that before the participants choose. Now, if it's just a one target date fund plan, you have different ages when you would retire. So you might have, say, 6 to 8 to pick from, varying from very aggressive to very conservative. Yeah. So, Johnny, you can adjust your allocation just by picking the one that's less aggressive or more aggressive,
yeah.
Depending on your thoughts of the market or however you're managing your finances.
And by that, what you mean by less aggressive, the ones that have a shorter target date have more bonds in them than ones who have a longer target date.
Exactly.
But outside of that, is there anything else they can do?
No, but you know they are diversified. So I don't worry. You're not losing diversification. What you're losing is fund choice options.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, all right.
Which it may be good or bad. I mean, it's if they've got good target date funds, you'll be all right.
Okay. Take a short break. We'll be right back, and we'll finish up this program with some blistering information.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.